It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, impeaching a president.
Article 2 is adopted.
That is our top story this Thursday. For just the third time in U.S. history, a sitting president has been impeached by the House of Representatives.
We have done our duty here in the House. The question now is, would the Senate uphold its duty?
The votes came in last night after a day-long verbal slugfest. In the end, not one single Republican voted for impeachment. A handful of Democrats also against it. Ohio's Jim Jordan.
The president's been driving these guys crazy because he's getting things done. He's doing what he said he was going to do. But guess what? When you drain the swamp fights back.
President Trump on the stump last night in Battle Creek, Michigan, says Democrats have become his secret weapon for re-election.
This lawless partisan impeachment is a political suicide march for the Democrat Party. Have you seen my polls in the last 4 weeks?
The two articles of impeachment will now go to the Republican-controlled Senate for a trial. When that happens, though, anyone's guess. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she may hold on to those articles for a little while longer.
We will make our decision as to when we're going to send it, when we see what they're doing on the Senate side. But that's a decision that we will make jointly.
Republicans say Pelosi is violating the U.S. Constitution by holding on to those two articles of impeachment. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham says the House Speaker has just sent the Democratic Party to its political grave.
If she did not move to impeach this president, she would not be speaker. So she picked her job over what's good for the country. And I hope at the end of the day, it costs the Democrats the House, and it's going to do a lot to reelect the president.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the first purely partisan presidential impeachment since the Civil War has forever stained the halls of Congress.
This particular House of Representatives has let its partisan rage at this particular president create a toxic new precedent that will echo well into the future.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the eyes of the nation have now shifted to the Senate.
What will the nation see? Will the nation see what Alexander Hamilton saw? A body of government with confidence enough to preserve the necessary impartiality? Or will the nation see the Senate dragged into the depths of partisan fervor?
Senator Schumer says President Trump has no one to blame but himself for his impeachment. Political analyst Ed Rankin.
I thought it was a bad day for the country. I, as someone that's been around for a long time, and it wasn't a pretty picture. It wasn't a nice thing.
We can't go on like this.
Robert Torricelli, the former Democratic senator from the state of New Jersey, he says the source of America's strength has always been our political stability.
And we went 220 years with one impeachment of Andrew Johnson. I'd like to see us go another 220 without revisiting this moment again, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Torricelli says once this impeachment issue is settled in the Senate with the president's acquittal, Republicans and Democrats need to hit the reset button. He says the future of our democracy is at stake. The impeachment of President Trump will come up tonight in Los Angeles. That is the scene of the next Democratic presidential debate. 7 White House hopefuls will take the stage at Loyola Marymount University. You can catch it tonight at 8 on PBS. Political pundits across our listening area offering their 2 cents on last night's historic impeachment of President Trump.
It is incredibly partisan. There is no attempt on either side to find common ground.
Pete Iacobucci teaches political science at Buff State. He expects the partisan divide to be just as pronounced in the Senate, where a trial gets underway in January. Dr. Dave Rankin teaches politics at nearby SUNY Fredonia.
I think it's entirely predictable. There's really not a lot of suspense with the outcome. The expectation will be that the Senate will acquit, and it could go very quickly, like the impeachment proceedings.
Rankin says he's looking forward to see how senators vote in battleground states like Maine and Colorado at the upcoming Senate trial. North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows is stepping down. He has served in Congress since 2013, the four-term Republican, saying in a statement today he struggled with leaving what he always considered to be a temporary job. Still to come this Thursday, sewage rescue in Scranton, big vote in Rochester, and Hollywood comes to Buffalo.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley. Cold this afternoon, a few flurries or snow showers off the lakes, but not much as far as accumulations are concerned. Moderating temperatures by the weekend. Full forecast details are coming your way in about 10 minutes.
Alrighty, Ken McKinley, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Thursday, December 19th, big vote tonight in the Flower City. The Rochester School Board will decide the fate of more than 150 teachers in that district. Superintendent Terry Dade says the teacher cuts are needed to bridge a multi-million dollar budget deficit that will balloon to more than $60 million by the end of June if nothing is done. Tonight's vote scheduled to start 5:30 in Rochester. A mass casualty event yesterday on Interstate 80 in central Pennsylvania. At least two people were killed. Nearly 40 others treated for injuries in a weather-related crash involving more than 20 vehicles.
If you see my car, it's total loss. Nothing left from it.
That man survived the chain reaction accident. He was on his way to Michigan to pick up his daughter for Christmas when a blinding snow squall hit.
I was in the end of all the crashes. Actually, I had time to stop, and I stopped before the truck in front of me, but the truck behind me didn't stop.
The interstate was shut down for much of yesterday and last night following that multi-vehicle accident. First the snow, now the cold, and Arctic chill has settled in.
I can't feel my hands. It's freezing. You need a big old North Face of Columbia on today.
I think I want to be in Florida.
Yeah, me too. With the brutal blast of winter weather comes some home heating safety tips. Dirk Wheeler is at the DeWitt Center in Horseheads, New York. He says the holidays are prime time for house fires.
If you're going to use portable heaters of any kind, indoor or outdoor, you're going to want to make sure you keep them away from flammables, obviously. This time of year, people have decorations up that normally aren't there, so you're going to want to make sure none of those decorations are near heaters.
Wheeler also recommends getting carbon monoxide and smoke detectors in your home this time of year.
If you don't have proper smoke detectors in the home, as well as carbon monoxide detectors, then a fire could spread quite rapidly, and people will be overcome by the smoke before they're actually overcome by the flames.
A new study out this week says more fatal fires take place in New York State than in any other state in the country. Firefighters in Scranton had to rescue a man who got caught in a sewer grate in the Electric City early this morning. That man was pulled to safety, soaking wet and wearing a sleeveless shirt in frigid conditions.
We thought he was actually stuck in the flood control basin up there. That's what we assumed by the information. I never dreamed he was down in the sewer catch basin like that where we found him.
Lieutenant Tom Irwin with the Scranton Fire Department says the man told first responders he'd fallen into the Lackawanna River overnight, pulled himself into a drain pipe, and crawled up it. Someone walking down the street this morning in Scranton heard the guy screaming for help from the sewer grate and called for help. The rescued man was treated for hypothermia at a local hospital. He is expected to be okay. The former prison teller serving time for helping two killers escape from an upstate New York correctional facility will soon be free. The state corrections agency says Joyce Mitchell has been approved for release in February. The state board of parole has denied her bids for freedom three times. Mitchell currently in the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility for helping Richard Matt and David Sweat escape from the state prison in Dannemora. Back in June of 2015, she provided the tools they used in a prison break that would go down in history as the largest manhunt ever in the state of New York. Hollywood has its sights set on Buffalo. Tinseltown will roll out three major motion pictures next year that were shot in and around the Queen City.
2019 has been a really good year for Buffalo and Western New York for movies.
Tim Clark with the Buffalo Niagara Film Commission says the region has a lot to offer when it comes to the silver screen.
Western New York is such a hotbed for this sort of activity because of the architectural assets that we have, as well as the, you know, sort of the people of Western New York are so welcoming to movie companies from around the world.
Clark says he expects next year to be even busier, with more and more film companies eyeing Buffalo for their next big project, the movie A Quiet Place 2, which was shot throughout Western New York and directed by the Office star John Krasinski, will hit theaters nationwide in March. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger says he's close to making a decision on the Buffalo Diocese filing for bankruptcy. The cloud of bankruptcy has hung over the church since the Child Victims Act went into effect earlier this year.
It's something that's very seriously being considered, and I know I will make a decision pretty soon. And I'm listening to advice from all sides. I just have to say that whatever we do has to be done in a way that puts victims first.
The Bishop of Albany took over the diocese in Buffalo earlier this month after former Bishop Richard Malone stepped down, saying no to Cuomo.
A lawsuit by a conservative good government group seeks to block a pay hike that would place Governor Andrew Cuomo among the nation's highest paid governors. The Government Justice Center is seeking an injunction blocking the salary bump. The nonprofit claims the state's constitution prohibits changing a governor or lieutenant governor's compensation during their term. The Democrat's salary is supposed to jump from the $179,000 he made following his 2018 reelection to $250,000 in 2021. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Cleaner air is coming to the Commonwealth. A change to Pennsylvania's air quality regulations is expected to reduce pollution in the Keystone State. The new measure would require oil and gas operators that produce above a certain threshold to use leak detection and repair equipment to identify and then fix leaks. Some police officers in Steuben County, New York, helping the local kiddos there get into the holiday spirit with a Shop with a Cop event yesterday. Family Life's Bump Price.
15 foster kids joined the officers yesterday to shop around town in the village of Bath. They went to Rite Aid, Tractor Supply, and Family Dollar. Bath PD, the state police, Addison cops, as well as law enforcement from Wayland, Painted Post, and the state DEC all took part in the Shop with a Cop event. Local Assemblyman Phil Palmisano stopped by to speak to the kids and thank the officers. Now, after shopping, the foster kids went back to the Bath Police Department to wrap the presents and enjoy lunch donated from Dunkin' Donuts, Burger King, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Great story. Thank you, Bob. St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Montrose, Pennsylvania, helping out those in need this winter season for 13 years now. That church has been collecting winter coats to give to local families. Officials say they've handed out over 1,200 coats so far this year. If you need a winter coat, you can stop by the church today. Montrose, Pennsylvania, St. Paul's Episcopal Church, the place to be. That church is going to be handing out free coats until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Let's head on over to the sports desk. Some changes coming in Jacksonville. Sunny time, 2 minute drill.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin out as the Jaguars vice president of football operations. Team owner Shad Khan fired Coughlin yesterday after almost 3 seasons with the team. Jacksonville 5-9 this year. Jags had their most successful year under Coughlin in 2017 when they advanced to the AFC championship game. To the NBA, the heat was on in Philadelphia. Miami knocks off the 76ers 108-104. That's the 76ers' first home loss of the year. Sixer forward Tobias Harris.
When they first threw the zone on us, we didn't make enough shots. So they got encouraged with it, and it was effective for them.
Miami surprising many at 20-8 on the year. Philadelphia drops to 20-9, including 14-1 at home. Cavaliers beat the Hornets 100-98. The Cavs have split 4 games following an 8-game skid. They're 7-21 on the year. On their first game since trading star forward Taylor Hall to the Coyotes, New Jersey knocking off the Ducks 3-1. College basketball, Bobby Hurley's Arizona State University team down big to St. Mary's. So he puts in Alonzo Verge Jr. off the bench. Well, Verge Jr. scores 43 points. The problem is the rest of the team only scored 13 in a 96-56 loss. Hurley's former team, the Buffalo Bulls, led by Devontae Jordan's 26, knocked off Canisius 82-73. St. Bonaventure improves to 7-4 with an 87-70 win against Niagara. Binghamton falls to Youngstown State 73-55. Syracuse beats Oakland in the Dome 74-62. And the high school football coach who inspired the movie Remember the Titans is dead at the age of 84. Herman Boone loved the movie, according to former T.C. Williams High School principal John Porter.
Oh, he had a blast with the film. He thought he was better looking than Denzel. He used to say that all the time, of course, kidding.
Boone got it T.C. Williams to the state championship in 1971 while dealing with issues regarding desegregation. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delviette.
Just saw that movie yesterday. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Thursday, impeachment moves to the Senate, faith under fire, and what we really want for Christmas.
The 2019 Nobel Peace Prize winner is an Ethiopian Pentecostal Christian. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, goes way, way back. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In early December, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Specifically, the Norwegian committee cited Ahmed's decisive initiative to resolve the border conflict with neighboring Eritrea. Ahmed's story is only the latest chapter in the ancient history of Ethiopian Christianity, which began in Acts 8 when an angel told Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." On that road, Philip met an Ethiopian court official puzzled over the meaning of Isaiah 53. Philip told the man, known as the Ethiopian eunuch, the good news about Jesus. And when the official professed faith, Philip baptized him. Afterward, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." Where he went, of course, was Ethiopia. According to the second century church father Irenaeus of Lyon, this man was also sent into the regions of Ethiopia to preach what he had himself believed. Over the next two centuries, Christianity continued to spread in the region. And then, in the early 4th century, in another momentous chapter in Ethiopian Christian history, a Christian boy from Tyre named Frumentius was shipwrecked and sold into slavery at a port along the Red Sea. His new master was the king of Aksum, a region in what is now Ethiopia. Like Daniel and Joseph before him, Frumentius gained the trust of this pagan king, who, upon his death, freed him. But Frumentius remained as a tutor to the new king, Izana. When Izana came of age, Frumentius returned to Tyre to be trained as a priest. From there, he went to Alexandria and asked the great theologian and patriarch Athanasius to send a bishop and missionaries to facilitate the further conversion of Ethiopia. Athanasius decided that the best man for that job was Frumentius himself, and so he was consecrated as the new bishop. Within a decade of his return, the majority of people in Izana's kingdom had become Christians. Christianity became the official religion of what is now Ethiopia in about 330 AD. That makes Ethiopia the second oldest Christian nation on earth after Armenia. Now, what about Rome, you asked? Rome didn't officially become Christian until 380 AD. Recent archaeological finds confirm this whole story. As recently related at Smithsonian.com, archaeologists have discovered the remains of a church that date back to the early 4th century. This discovery reminds us of three things. First, even before Constantine legalized Christianity in the Roman Empire, the faith had spread far and wide, from Ethiopia to the south to India in the east. Second, the Christian faith originated at the crossroads of Asia and Africa. The modern explosion of Christianity on both of those continents is in reality a homecoming. Ethnically and linguistically, our Lord was more closely related to people like Frumentius and the people of Ethiopia who speak a Semitic language than he was to the people of Europe. And finally, Ethiopia's 2,000-year legacy of Christianity all began with a simple act of obedience by Philip. So when the Lord bids any of us rise and go, we better do it. After all, who knows if he might bless that act of obedience today in order to change history and to glorify his name for centuries to come. And on another note, we're nearing the end of the year. If you value the daily dose of sanity that you get every single day from Breakpoint, would you please make a year-end gift at breakpoint.org/radio. That's breakpoint.org/radio. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour of the weekend, almost here.
Good afternoon. A bit of lake effect snow continuing to the east and southeast of Lakes Erie and Ontario this afternoon, but it's not really all that heavy. In most areas at this point, we'll not see much more than another inch or two, and that only in very limited areas. Over the rest of the region, a lot of clouds coming through as an upper disturbance makes its way through. That may produce a flurry or two here and there, but nothing significant as far as accumulation. Temperatures obviously very cold through this afternoon. Cold again tonight, then beginning to moderate over the next couple of days. We'll have a lot of sunshine tomorrow and a fair amount of sunshine as we begin the weekend on Saturday as well. Temperatures will climb above freezing in most areas by Saturday. Will continue to moderate through the end of the weekend.
Alrighty, Ken McKinley filling in for Kevin Williams at the Weather Center today, doing a great job. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, December 19th. History in the House.
We passed the two articles of impeachment. The president is impeached.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi presiding over last night's historic vote. Mr. Trump becomes just the third president in U.S. history to be impeached by the House. He was on stage in Battle Creek, Michigan last night as the votes were coming in.
So we got every single Republican voted for us. Whoa. Crazy Nancy Pelosi's House Democrats have branded themselves with an eternal mark of shame, and it really is. It's a disgrace.
Last night's event was dubbed a very merry Christmas rally, but it was anything but a silent night. Chance of four more years filling the arena. The impeachment saga now shifts to the Senate. When that will happen is anyone's guess, though, after the House Speaker announced this last night.
We will make our decision as to when we're going to send it, when we see what they're doing on the Senate side, but that's a decision that we will make jointly.
That drew this response from Texas Senator and Republican Ted Cruz.
Her threat is really quite remarkable. Her threat to the Senate is, do exactly what I want, or I'm not going to impeach the president. I'm not going to send over the impeachment articles. My attitude is, okay.
The Cruz says Democrats are in a panic over impeachment.
This has never happened in the history of the country. The prior impeachments, every one of them, the articles alleged a federal crime. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't, and it doesn't meet the constitutional standard for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Cruz says history will forever judge this House of Representatives, and this impeachment will give the GOP control of Congress and the White House. In 2020, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The Senate exists for moments like this. That's why this body has the ultimate say in impeachment.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer wants to have witnesses testify in the upcoming Senate trial.
Four witnesses, only those with direct knowledge of the charges made by the House, only those who could provide new, relevant, and potentially illuminating testimony.
But Mitch McConnell says he doesn't want the Senate to do the House's work. Meantime, in Russia today.
Russian President Vladimir Putin said today President Trump was impeached for far-fetched reasons. He said Democrats who lost in 2016 are using other means.
Steve Kaffin reporting the Senate is not likely to remove President Trump from office, but each of the Democratic candidates in the race for the White House want him gone. They'll debate tonight in L.A.
The candidates are likely to get questions about the impeachment vote, but also about other issues more directly affecting the voters. That's in part because polling has shown that Democrats overwhelmingly support impeaching the president, but also want to hear about how they would defeat him next November.
That's political analyst Ed O'Keefe. The number of Americans who describe themselves as very religious has dropped each and every year. Now, one generation may be departing so much from the norm that it could completely transform that trend. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
40% of millennials say they are Christians, but another 40% say they are religiously unaffiliated. That's the highest rate ever. Some think it's because religion is less relevant today, but many Christians believe it's the result of social forces and laws. Dr. Andrew Knight, founder of Excellent Way Ministry, says growing up in a religious home is critical in whether some people will identify as Christians later in life. He says it's critical to take children to church and to constantly reinforce their faith to keep them engaged in religion. Most millennials won't ever return to Christianity, even later in life, as baby boomers and Generation X did. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, a Thursday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith on.
under fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Dan Gaynor, VP of Business, Culture, and Tech Watch for Media Research Center. So this week, executives for the Hallmark Channel decided to continue to air a commercial featuring a lesbian pair kissing. At first, media leaders chose to pull it following pressure from conservatives. Then some celebrities weighed in, shaming the company, including Ellen DeGeneres and William Shatner. Shatner tweeted about having many more followers than the 1 million moms group that opposed the commercial. Many companies are under intense pressure by a vocal few to give up on traditional values. How else are you seeing this play out?
Well, I mean, what happened was Hallmark Channel guaranteed that they alienated everyone. That takes some skill. They alienated the hard left that really cared about this issue, and then they alienated their core audience, traditional values viewers who wanted to see one place that they can turn on the television and watch material and content that they agree with. And they're not even allowed that. Eric Erickson, who is very prominent in the conservative movement, is always fond of saying, you will be made to care. I think this is really one of the best examples I've seen where that's true. No matter how much you just want to go on with your day-to-day life, you're not allowed to isolate yourself from what has turned into sort of a cultural mandate. You must believe in what the secular left believes, or you will be forced to embrace it.
Yeah, and you're considered a hater if you don't embrace it.
I think they've gone even past, now you are evil, racist. This is not surprising why you see at the end of the year Pew Research come out and say one of their most surprising things that they learned in 2019 was the rapid decline of Christian faith in America. That's part of the situation. Since the 70s, the major media in this country, news and entertainment, have been on, appropriately, a crusade to destroy Christians and Christianity, to nullify them in the pop culture. They hated the rise of Christians in politics. They've tried to destroy them. Turn on almost any TV sitcom now or any TV drama. Law and Order used to be particularly bad about this. Every time you were introduced to somebody of any particular faith, if they were traditional values people, they were almost always the villain.
Wow, interesting. So, Dan, what would you say are the ramifications in our culture then for a mainstream company not airing a pro-LGBTQ commercial?
Well, I mean, they're going to have a hard time getting advertisers. So, I mean, this was a financial play on them, you know, caring more about gold than faith and values, and frankly, their customers. But the PR agencies are run by mostly very far left people, so they want to make sure they get their ads. But also, I think they're probably afraid of being dropped by cable companies. Mm. This is where we are. And I mean, we saw it with Chick-fil-A as well.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A bowed to pressure. And instead of sticking with the people who made Chick-fil-A popular, Chick-fil-A bowed and gave money to an organization that exists solely to destroy conservatives and Christians. SPLC, that's what it does. And Chick-fil-A gave money to them. So if you know of really good, diehard, conservative, pro-faith organizations, you have to support them, because this is what they're up against.
Wow. And how much do those commercials then impact programming when it comes to these kind of social issues?
The major media, the news media, have been really coming hard at Hallmark for the last couple of years. Every time Hallmark releases its Christmas movie list, you see outlets like the Washington Post and others attacking them. So I knew this was escalating because they can't stand that there's an outlet that produces content that conservatives want.
In the past, Hallmark had been a clean alternative for people for years, showcasing no cussing, respect for modest boundaries in relationships. Now the company says that they will include that in their programming.
It will be interesting to watch what happens next year as far as the content. How quickly the Hallmark Channel basically caves entirely and starts putting LGBT movies on its channel. And when it does, I imagine conservatives will walk.
Yeah, and they've said that they're going to do that. Do you have any recommendations for possible alternatives for Christians when it comes to wholesome entertainment?
There are smaller channels, but this is not the first time this happened. We watched this happen with Disney. Disney is the most awful company out there for families now. It inserts left-wing propaganda in all sorts of things it does, and yet families inflict it on their children. So there's no major channel out there now for conservatives. There are some rising channels or things, but it's a huge opportunity.
That's Dan Gaynor with Media Research Center. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Interesting guy. Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. A bit of lake effect snow continuing to the east and southeast of Lakes Erie and Ontario this afternoon, but it's not really all that heavy. In most areas at this point, we'll not see much more than another inch or two, and that only in very limited areas. Over the rest of the region, a lot of clouds coming through as an upper disturbance makes its way through. That may produce a flurry or two here and there, but nothing significant as far as accumulation. Temperatures obviously very cold through this afternoon. Cold again tonight, then beginning to moderate over the next couple of days. We'll have a lot of sunshine tomorrow and a fair amount of sunshine as we begin the weekend on Saturday as well. Temperatures will climb above freezing in most areas by Saturday. We'll continue to moderate through the end of the weekend.
Thank you, Ken McKinley. Finally at noon, what do we really want for Christmas? Cold, hard, cash. Family Life's Bob Price.
The money management app Mint surveyed 1,000 people and posed this question: what do you want to see under the Christmas tree and why? Of those surveyed, 61% said they prefer a gift card or cash to a traditional present. But only 40% said they would give a gift card or cash as a present. 60% of women were more likely to want a thoughtful present this holiday season. One in four seniors prefer a gift donation to charity to help those in need. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.